the church say amen.
Amen.
Let the church say amen again.
Amen.
And one more time for the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Isn't the Lord good?
Yes,
His mercy doth endure forever. And we bring you good tidings. The Bible is good news. That's why we call it the gospel. It is good news, and we give God the glory and the honor. So just before we go into today's sermonic presentation, every third, fourth, and fifth Sunday, we pause and we send our children downstairs for youth church. And so parents, I'm going to ask if you would mind sending your kids to the back, and we're going to give the procession into youth church. Amen. It is an opportunity for me to encourage our children, and I love it because somebody prayed for me when I was their age, and I want to pray for them that they're their age. Amen. And so come on down, children. It's youth church time. And let's give our children a big hand of encouragement as they come. All right. Youth church, high five. Come on down. Youth church, high five. You got it. Youth church, high five. 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 All right. Amen. Let's give him another hand of encouragement. Come on down. Got one more. Come on down. Give me my high five. Come on. There's another one back there. Come on down. All right. Come on down. We've got a few stragglers coming down. Amen. Amen. Bless the Lord, sweetheart. There you go. Good job. Parents, we're going to take them downstairs and give them their own little youth church experience. And then we'll bring them back upstairs. All right, all the adults remaining, stand to your feet and turn with me in the Bible to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 I want you to turn with me to Exodus 33. Exodus is the second book of the Bible. And if you have trouble finding it, you can talk to me after church. Give you a refresher course in Bible order. Exodus chapter 33. I want to read a few verses with you. Look at go to chapter 32, right above that last verse. Verse 35. Exodus says, "So the Lord plagued the people because of what they did with the calf which Aaron made." Verse 1 of chapter 33 says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Depart and go up from here, and you and all the people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt, to the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, to your descendants I will give it.'" Verse 2, "And I will send my angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanite and the Amorite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite. Go up to a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in your midst, lest I consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people." Go to verse 12. Chapter 33. "Then the Lord said to Moses said to the Lord, 'See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight. And consider this, that this nation is your people.' And he said, 'My presence will go with you and I will give you rest.' Then he said to him, 'If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except," somebody say except, "except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth." So the Lord said to Moses, "I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name." Here ends the reading of God's divine and eternal word. May it edify and sanctify God's people. I would that you pray with me, beloved, on the title of today's sermon, When Angels Aren't Enough. When angels are not enough. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I ask your blessings upon your word that it not return void. Thank you for the people whom you have gathered here this morning to hear your word. Students from Princeton University, children in pre-K, adults 90 plus years of age, teenagers just getting started, male, female, black, white, rich or poor, urban, suburban, regardless, Asian brothers and sisters whom you have led into this place. Thank you, Father, for all the saints who have gathered here today. And now that we have gathered, give us your word that we may hear what you want us to hear, know what you want us to know, so that we may do what you've called us to do. Let your anointing fall fresh in this place. And we shall be ever careful, God, to give you the glory, the praise, and all of the honor. This is our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' sweet name. Let the saints of God, the redeemed of the Lord, say together, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. For those of you, ushers, you may be seated as well. For those of you for whom this is your first time visiting with us, or for those who are visiting here lately and not yet members, every now and again the Lord will give me a sermon series to look and to preach in our worship experience. And the sermon series are designed to, over a period of weeks, reflect on different themes, different topics that the Lord has laid on my heart. And for the last several weeks, God has laid on my heart to talk about the presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord. And there's an outline that I gave us several weeks ago that talks about the different weeks and the different themes that I would want to present. And so on January 27th, I introduced this sermon series a couple weeks ago. And then on 2 weeks ago, we talked about God's presence in the natural realm. And then today, I want to talk about God's presence in the human realm. And then on next week, if the Lord allows us to get here and see next Sunday, I want to talk about God's presence in the heavenly realm. And so I want to talk about the presence of the Lord. You heard our praise dancers dance not too long ago to a song called The Presence of the Lord is Here. I can feel him in the atmosphere, right? The presence of the Lord is here. How many of you really believe the presence of the Lord is in this place here today? Because I believe that when the people of God come to worship, and where there are two or three who are gathered in his name, he said, I'll be in your midst and I will be in your presence. And so it is absolutely possible to have the presence of the Lord manifested in your very situation. And that's what I want to remind folk here today, that no matter what you are going through, and no matter what you have been through, and no matter where you might find yourself right now, the presence of the Lord can manifest itself in your situation. And I need someone to understand the significance of what does it mean to have the presence of the Lord show up. How many of you know when God shows up, God always shows out? How many of you know that when the presence of the Lord manifests itself, it is undeniable, it is palpable, it is unbelievable, it is inconceivable when the presence of the Lord shows up? And I believe that God's presence can show up in any and every situation into which the people of God open themselves to receiving the presence of the Lord. Listen to me on this now, because there are students who are battling with trying to get out of their degree program. But if you just open yourself to the presence of the Lord, I believe the presence of the Lord will show up even in Dr. Jackson Weaver's class. Come on, somebody. I believe the presence of the Lord will show up at Princeton University. I believe the presence of the Lord will show up on state jobs. And I believe the presence of the Lord can show up in hospital rooms. And I believe the presence of the Lord can show up in courtrooms. I believe the presence of the Lord can show up in marriages. Come on, somebody. Some of you might be going through a dry spell in your marriage. If you are married, and I need you to understand that you can't solve some things by yourself. You need the presence of the Lord to show up in that situation. I believe the presence of the Lord will show up even in my body. When the doctor has said, I am diagnosed with cancer, prostate cancer, brothers, breast cancer, sisters. But how many of you know if you give that thing over to the Lord, the presence of the Lord can show up. I believe the presence of the Lord will show up in sick beds when your loved one is in a hospital, not able to speak for themselves. But if you call on the presence of the Lord, I believe the presence of the Lord will show up in a hospital bed and preserve your mama until God says otherwise. Do I have a witness here today? The presence of the Lord is real. And here's what I need you to understand. The Hebrew word for God's presence is Shekinah. We often say Shekinah, but it's actually a long I, Shekinah. And that word Shekinah or Shekinah is a word that literally means presence, God's presence, God's manifestation. And I need you to understand the significance of what that means, that God can show up in your situation. God will show up on your job. And here's what I need you to understand, that you do not command God to do certain things, but when you touch and agree with your neighbor, the Bible says when two or three are gathered together, I don't need a lot of folk to have church. All I need is one other praying saint, one other person who knows something about what God can do, one other person who knows that God is a miracle working God, that God is a mountain moving God, that God is a bridge building God. I need one other person who can join with me on a Sunday morning. All the rest of y'all can do what you want to do, but all I need is one other person who knows something about the presence of the Lord. I need somebody who knows that God has made a way out of no way. I need somebody who knows God is a bridge over troubled waters. I need somebody for whom God has made your enemies your footstool. If you would just touch and agree with me, then we can have church here today and God's presence will show up in this place. I believe that. I believe that God will inhabit the praises of his people. I believe that if you just open up your mouth and just begin to praise him, that God will step into your praise. I don't care where you are. I don't care who's looking at you. I don't care what's going on. If you would just, I dare you, I double dog dare you to just open up your mouth and give God some praise. I believe God will step in to your praise and manifest himself in your situation. And when God shows up, he always shows out. Paul began to praise at midnight, and the Bible says the foundations of the jail were shaken, and the jailhouse doors were open, and they were able to walk out because of the presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord is liberating. The presence of the Lord is salvific. It means it saves you. The presence of the Lord will rescue you.
The presence of the Lord will make a way for you when your enemies are trying to block you and your haters are hating on you. The presence of the Lord will lift you up, turn you around, put your feet on solid ground, and they'll be looking and wondering, how did you make it? And all you've got to do is say, it was the presence of the Lord. I'm here to tell you, I've been in some situations where the presence of the Lord got me out of it. Didn't know how, didn't know when, but I believe God is an on-time God. He may not come when I want him, but he's always right on time. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. And I need you to understand the power of the presence of the Lord. I started off talking about this subject several weeks ago by quoting a psalm, Psalm 16, that talks about in your presence, Lord, is the what? Fullness of joy. And my challenge and my admonition to all of us was to figure out how to stay in the presence of the Lord. That means don't get into other folks' presence. Stay in God's presence. Don't let other folks suck you into their orbit. Because you know, folk are a trip. I just stopped by to tell some of y'all in case you didn't know. Because you haven't lived long enough. Folk are a trip. They will go on a pity party and try to pull you into their pity party. Folk will get in the corner and start talking negative and try to pull you into their negativity. But if you just push that stuff back and say, I'm endeavoring to stay in the presence of the Lord, you can have a pity party by yourself. You can be negative by yourself. I'm going to stay in the presence of the Lord, because in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. And I don't know about you, but this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away from me. God is looking for some joyful people, some folk who know how to take a licking and keep on ticking, some folk who don't let their enemies get the best of you, some folk who are peaceful in the midst of chaos and confusion, some folk who are long-suffering and self-control. That's called the fruit of the Spirit. And when you stay in the presence of the Lord, then you will manifest the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of the flesh. Now, quickly in the text, I read to you verse number 32 for a reason. Because it is in chapter 32 of Exodus that we see the people of God go astray. They had taken little steps of waywardness throughout their journey, Brother Larry, from captivity into the promised land. God was taking them on a journey. They had not yet arrived at the journey, at their destination, but the journey, right? How many of you know we're on a spiritual journey? Amen, somebody. University is a part of your journey. It's not the last part. Amen. You'll get through this. You may not think it right now, but you will get through this, right? And every other Brother Laurenti, I see you back there. It's real part of a spiritual journey. Right? The Kellys on a spiritual journey. They were at Shiloh for a few years. Now they're down in South for a few years. God is not finished with them yet. We're all on a spiritual journey. But the question is, while we're on our journey, we've got the purpose to stay close to God, because the further we get from God, the more off the journey we're going to become. And chapter 32 tells us when Moses went up to get the commandments, what did the people of God do? They made a golden calf. And they began to worship the calf. Listen now. One of the greatest commandments. God says in Exodus chapter 20. I am the Lord thy God who brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Thou shalt have no other God before me. And when you mess around and put a golden calf before God and begin to worship the calf, the creation as opposed to the creator, when you begin to worship what you have as opposed to who gave it to you, when you begin to worship what you got as opposed to who gave it to you, when you begin to worship the person that's sitting next to you as opposed to the person who gave you, the person that's sitting next to you, you have lost your way and you are on your way to losing your mind. And even losing your soul. They worshipped a golden calf. Now this is the same God that had turned the bitter waters of Marah sweet. This is the same God that they watched Moses when his hands were up down in the valley when they were fighting the Amalekites, that God gave Moses victory, Joshua victory down in the valley as long as Moses' hands were lifted up. This is the same God that sent 10 plagues unto Pharaoh and Pharaoh finally said, get out of Egypt. This is the same God that made a way out of no way. And now when you get to this point of your journey, you want to turn your back on the same God that made a way for you yesterday. If God was good to you yesterday, don't you know he can be good to you today? Don't turn your back on him today because of what he has not yet done. If he did it for you yesterday, he can do it for you today. Do I have a witness here today? They turned their back on God and they worshiped a golden calf. I remember going through Stanford University, young men and young women, and someone said to me, remember, you're here because God brought you here. Not because of your intellect, not because of your connections, not because of all the good things you did in high school. You're here. All that's good and you're supposed to do that. But you're here because God brought you here. And as soon as you forget that, that's when you're going to go astray. The Bible says in verse 32 of chapter 32, so the Lord plagued the people because of what they did with the calf that Aaron made. God is a righteous God. He's not going to put up with mess, but for too long. And if he puts up with it at all. And so he plagued the people. And then from the plague, he told Moses, get up and keep going towards the promised land. Because some of you know, God is not a God that he, not a man that he should lie. If he said he's going to take you to the promised land, he's going to take you there. You may mess up on your way there, but he's still gonna take you there. You may not see it for yourself, but somebody in your lineage is gonna get to the promised land. Dr. King said it this way, I may not get there with you, but I've been to the mountaintop and mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. I may not get there with you, King said, but we as a people will get to the promised land. And I declare that there's a black man in the White House today. Come on, somebody. It's not the fullness of the promised land, but that's not a bad journey, is it? When racists in the South never thought in their wildest dreams that there would be a black man in the White House. It shows you what God can do. So God told Moses to get up and keep on going. But I'm not going to go with you. Listen now. He says in verse number 2, I will send my angel and I will drive out the Canaanites and the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Somebody ought to be shouting right there. Because even though they didn't deserve it, God said, I'm still going to take care of you. Even though you messed up and worshiped the calf, I'm still going to fight your battle for you. Even though you shouldn't make it through this journey, I'm still going to take care of the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hittites. Anybody got some Hittites on their backs right now? Anybody got some Jebusites on their backs right now? God said, even though you don't deserve it, I'm still going to take care of your enemies. Thanks be to God for his grace and his mercy. Here's the point for which my sermon is named today. He says in verse number 2, I will send my angel. Hence my subject, when angels are not enough. The scripture in Psalms that says he will give his angels charge over us. But how many of you know, if I had my choice between having God himself or having one of his angels, I'm always going to take God over the angels. Don't get me wrong, I've had some angels in my life. My grandmama is one of my biggest angels. If nobody else prays for Daryl Armstrong, and my grandmama Opal Armstrong is in Southern California on her knees every morning praying that God cover my grandchild. He's back there 3,000 miles away. He's pastoring your people. Cover my grandchild. I don't know what he's going through right now, but cover my grandchild. I don't know what he's been through, but cover my grandchild. Child, I don't know what he's about to go through, but cover my grandchild. There's some folk who messing with him, God. Cover my grandchild. Deliver him out of his troubles. Cover my grandchild. Don't mess with me and my grandmama now. That's one of my angels. But I've had some other angels. My pastor, Pastor Richmond Brown, who watches me every time I go back to Holy Light. Watch me from age 8 until now I'm 44 years of age. Preach at a church where I used to be a little Sunday school student at. Come on, somebody. Thank God for the angels in your life. My angels, I've had teachers and counselors as angels. Anybody ever had an angel in their life? Somebody that you didn't know why you were getting blessed, but God sent them into your path to be a blessing to you. You didn't deserve to get blessed, but God sent an angel by your way. The Bible says be careful of how you entertain strangers, because you might just be entertaining angels unaware. Angels come in all shapes and sizes. They come in all races and ethnicities. They come in all genders, male and female. They come rich, they come poor. They dressed up like gang members sometimes. They dressed up like hobos sometimes. They dressed up like strangers sometimes. You better be careful of how you treat folk, because you never know when they just might be an angel. God said, I'll send my angel. But listen to Moses' reply. You need to read the whole chapter in order to get the flavor of it. But I'm just giving you a synopsis of it. He says in verse number 12, then Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Now, what Moses was really saying is, Lord, you told me to lead these people. And the reason God said, I'm not going, even though he's in control, is because they had just threw sand in God's face by building a calf and worshiping it. And so God says, I'm going to send my angel. He was leading them before himself, but he's going to send his angel now because they are stiff-necked people. And if you just stop right there, all of us, at some point in our lives, have been stiff-necked and hard-hearted. When you know you're supposed to do right, but you chose to do wrong, that's called stiff-necked. When you know you were messing with folk and you shouldn't have been messing with them, that's called stiff-necked. When you know you should have forgiven some folk when they asked for forgiveness, but you didn't forgive them, that's called stiff-necked. When you know you're supposed to give a little bit more than what God gave to you and you don't give it, that's called being stiff-necked. When you know you're supposed to pray for your enemies and you choose not to pray for them, that's called being stiff-necked. All of us at some point in our lives have been stiff-necked and hard-hearted and even hard-headed. And if you say you've not, let me step away from you a little bit. Because all of us have. From the preacher to the people. From the pulpit to the pew. From the top to the bottom. From the bottom to the top. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us need his forgiveness. All of us ought to fall on our bended knee. All of us ought to say, Lord, I'm sorry. All of us ought to stretch our hands to God's heaven and God said, because you're stiff-necked, I'm sending an angel. But here's what I love about Moses. If anybody could plead with God, Moses knew how to plead with God. Moses says, Lord, because God said, if I go, I'm going to consume you in your sinfulness. Your unrighteousness is too much to handle my righteousness. So I'm sending my angel. Moses said, God, you told me to lead your people. But here's the part I like. If you don't go, then we can't go. Look at the text. Look at verse number 16. Verse number 14. And he said, my presence will go with you. My Shekinah will go with you. And I will give you rest. Then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? And verse number 15 is my key point. For if your presence does not go, do not even bring us up from here. Moses had enough spiritual sense to understand that if God wasn't on his side, that he was not going to be successful. Moses had enough spiritual sense to say, Lord, if you're not the one in front of me, then I'm going to fail at everything I do. Moses had enough spiritual sense to say, Lord, if you don't fight my battle, then I'm going to lose every time. Moses had enough spiritual sense to say, Lord, if your presence doesn't go with me, then I might as well not even go. Because if I try to go without your presence, I'm going to fall down. If I try to go without your presence, I'm going to mess up. If I try to go without your presence, I'm going to fail. So if you don't go, God, I might as well not even take another step. But if you go with me, I can do all things. If you go with me, mountains shall be moved. If you go with me, bridges shall be built. If you go with me, my enemies will become my footstool. If you go with me, you'll make a way out of no way. Does anybody know that with God on your side, everything is possible? Nothing is impossible. With God on your side, the devil's gotta run from you. With God on your side, you can walk over enemies. Come on, somebody. Moses says, if you don't go with me, God, I might as well not even go. Because I am foolish enough to believe that if God isn't with me, then I'm not going to be successful. But I'm also foolish enough to believe that if God is with me, God isn't my co-pilot. I'm the co-pilot. I'm a passenger. He's flying the plane. He's not my co-pilot. You've seen those bumper stickers, God, your co-. No, that reduces the sovereignty of God. God isn't somebody's co-pilot. He made the plane. He made the air the plane is flying on. He's the pilot. He's the co-pilot. He's the wind beneath my wings. If you don't fly the plane, God, I will not make it. Do I have a witness today? Yeah. Do I have any Moseses here today who will stand with me and say, God, if you don't go, I'm not going. But if you go, I'm going. Wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, whatever you want me to say, if you lead me, I'll follow. God's presence. I've been on this earth 44 years, and I've been through a few things, y'all. And I know that as long as I stayed, Brother Bud's good to see, as long as I stayed in the presence of the Lord, my enemies tried to get to me, but they could not get to me. They tried as much as they could, but God's covering was on me. The God was a shield all around me. If you don't go, I'm not going. But if you go, God, I'm going. And don't you know what God did? God said to Moses, because I know you by name, because I know your face, Moses, because you've been on bended knee and you're not a first time prayer, because I know who you are, I'm going to answer your prayer and I'm going to go with you and lead you on to the promised land. And that's all I stop by to tell some folk. You're on a journey, but if you want to get to your destination, you better make sure the Holy Ghost and the presence of the Lord is leading you and guiding you and directing your paths. Hallelujah, somebody. Come on, somebody. Do I have a witness? Has the Lord opened up a door? Has the Lord built a bridge? Has the Lord moved a mountain? Has the Lord done something wonderful, spectacular? Your presence, God. Your presence. And that's why I stopped by to tell someone, stay in the presence of the Lord. I thank you for your angels, God. But I'd rather have you than your angels. I'd rather have you on side of me and above me and behind me and beneath. I'd rather have you, God. When angels aren't enough, let the church say amen today. Somebody give God a praise offering in this place. Hallelujah. Everybody standing to their feet. Deacons and deaconess and clergy, help me extend this invitation. I'd rather have you, God. I'd rather have you. I'd rather have you, God. Men are going to sing in a moment. Listen carefully to me. Two invitations. The first is to someone who doesn't have a church home. Maybe you're already a Christian, but you are out of fellowship. Look at God today. God bless you, brother. Come on. If you already know what you want to do, come on down. Don't wait. God bless you, young man.